Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable, Episode 6. We are your hosts, Kimberly Senna Moore,
Rachel Rambach,
and Michelle Erfurt.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us. Can you believe this is episode 6 already?
Isn't that nuts? We've been doing this for 6 months.
Yeah,
then.
That's half a year.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome. Go us.
Go us. But it makes me feel a little old because I always remember my mom being like, where did the time go?
Oh, I say that like every day.
And that's what I'm thinking right now.
I know.
Where did the time go?
Oh my. Where did the time go?
Speaking of where did the time go, I have my big birthday next month.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're big.
My big one.
Okay.
Yes,
my that big is exciting.
Oh, I'm excited.
So, do you have any big plans?
Well, actually, I do. I'm going to be going out to Colorado, ironically, for my birthday. Before we found out we were moving to Missouri, a friend of mine from California, we made plans for her to come out, and we were going to have a girls' weekend over my birthday weekend. Mm-hmm. Then I found out I was moving, and one of the first things I asked my husband was, so can I still come out to Colorado? I want to spend time with my girls.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing for that weekend. He's going to be with the kids, and I'm going out and having a girls' weekend.
Excellent.
You deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
Totally.
Thank you. I'm excited. The internet, as we know it now, is an accessible, interactive, affordable, and powerful tool. You can use the internet to network around the world, to market your services for pennies, and to sharpen your skills. But with so many options and so many choices, it can be overwhelming. So this month's episode will help you with just that, learning tips and techniques for using the internet for marketing and advocacy. We'll offer a handful of ideas here, and at the end of the podcast, we'll let you know where you can learn even more. So I think we'll start off with a question for both Rachel and Michelle and me. What online tools, social media or otherwise, do you use on a regular basis, and what do you use that tool for?
Well, I think that the better question to ask any one of us is what online tools don't we use? Just because it seems like we all have so many different things that we're doing on the internet, and social media-wise, blog-wise, we just all use so many different resources out there.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I think for me, as far as online tools, my blog came first before any of the social media was even really around. So I'd say that definitely the number one thing that I use would be Blogger, since that's how I write my blog. And then, of course, I use other websites like Picnic. It's a image website, and that's how I edit all my images and create all my illustrations for my blog.
Is that how you got the border around your blog and things like that?
Not the border, but any time that I post, like, I don't know if you guys remember when I did that survey last month. Mm-hmm. I had like a little background illustration. I did that on Picnic, and like the things that you see in the sidebar usually are done in Picnic. And it's such a cool website. I have the subscription, so it's like $36 for a year subscription, and it lets you keep all of your images so that you can edit them and go back and change them, you know, if something changes over time and you want to change a date on something. It's just really cool, and you can do so many things with photos and with illustrations. I love it.
That is cool. Is that like going on a picnic?
It's PICNIK.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually Google just bought it, I think back in May. So it's kind of exciting because I know that with Google behind it, they'll probably add even more features, and it'll grow from here.
That I've never heard of that. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, no problem.
I'll go check it out.
You should. So I use that all the time. And then as far as hosting my images, I use PhotoBucket. And again, I pay, I don't know, something minimal, $24 a year to have unlimited photo hosting and probably the number one service that I rely on as far as my blog is concerned is Bandcamp. And that is the website that I use to host all my songs. And I can also sell my downloads through Bandcamp.
That is cool. How about you, Michelle?
Well, the online tool that I use the most, I'm noticing that it changes with whatever's going on with me, what I use more frequently. And lately, I've really been using Twitter a lot.
You have. You are like a Twitter machine lately.
Mm-hmm. And I notice that, I'm a little... It's because I got a new phone.
Oh, yes.
It opens up the world.
It does. Oh, do you use TweetDeck?
No, I have to look into it, though. I see you guys do.
Oh, yeah. What do you use?
Just Twitter on my phone.
You can integrate it with Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
And other accounts, too. But that's, I really like TweetDeck.
I love it.
And you can sync a mobile your mobile application on your iPhone with the desktop version.
Yes. That's what I do. I love it.
Use TweetDeck.
Yep. I know a lot of people use it.
Uh-huh.
So now that my technology level has kind of upgraded to a smartphone, because before I had just a regular flip phone with no keypad and all of that, I never texted a lot. But now that I have my new awesome phone, I Twitter a lot. And I used to Facebook before this new technology change, but now I think that Facebook is slower than Twitter, so I don't do this often. So I'm a new Twitaholic.
A Twitaholic. I like it.
That should be a real word.
Yeah. I'll see if they can put it in that sidebar where they have the definition.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Twitaholic.
What about you, Kimberly? What's your tool that you're using on a regular basis?
Well, I would, and Rachel, you're right. It's hard to pick just one.
It is. It is so hard.
Because I use multiple ones and I use them for different purposes.
Right.
So I do use Twitter a lot. Although if you follow me, I haven't used it that much the past couple of weeks because I've been a little preoccupied.
And we've all missed you.
We did. It just wasn't the same without you.
It was. It was like when you are with your friends and the one friend isn't around. And
that's right.
Are they sick? What's going on? And then and you remember, oh yeah, she has all this stuff. She has a life. I forgot.
Sometimes. Although now I finally have internet. We just got internet hooked up in the house on Monday. And I haven't left my computer much.
Oh, I don't know how you lived without it. I couldn't go an hour.
I didn't like it that much.
No, no.
So anyway, I use Twitter, and I use Facebook, and I have both, my private Facebook account and then also my professional one, which is Neurosong Music Therapy. And I have my blog, and with my blog, I use WordPress. Which I really like, and that's just what I've used since the beginning. And I really like it because I think it's a really flexible tool. It's a little more complicated to learn, but once you do, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that I use, and I use them pretty consistently, every week and usually every day. So those are the ones that I use.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we should also mention both of us use AWeber for our newsletters.
Sure. Yes, we do.
Which I love. I love AWeber. I think it's so user-friendly and there's just so many features. You go in and you say, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could do this. I didn't know I could do that. Every time I use it, it's so cool.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things about AWeber is that you can have different lists.
Yes, yes.
You can, for different demographics or different, different... newsletter recipients maybe have different needs, and then you can send a newsletter to one list or to multiple lists.
Right.
And it's just, I absolutely love AWeber.
Yeah. Thanks for recommending that, by the way, way back in November.
You're welcome. I like getting your newsletters.
Oh, well, I like getting yours too.
I need to do another one.
Yeah, you do.
Last month.
Well, you had a good excuse at least.
That was a good excuse. Yeah. So AWeber and then for my, I should mention too, for my pictures, you know, because one of the things you have to watch whenever you publish anything online that's not yours, you have to make sure it's royalty and copyright free.
Right.
And the service I use for a lot of my pictures is called iStockPhoto.
Mm-hmm.
And you do pay for it, but it's, you know, maybe $1.50 per picture.
Yeah, and that's
so
nothing really.
I make sure when I buy one, I generally use it over and over. So I actually haven't bought a picture in a couple of months. But whenever I need to go get a picture, I go to iStockPhoto.com.
Excellent.
My go-to place.
I started doing newsletters too. The Erfurt Music Resource, we started a newsletter, and I use MailChimp.com.
Now that's a free one, right?
I used that one because it was free, and I'm just, you know, diving in, just figuring it out. So I got the free one, mm-hmm. and it has the same features that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it is limited. Like, there's so many people I can have on my list, so many email addresses you can have, and how so many times you can mail things out, but it's still in the thousands.
Oh,
so I'm not really worried about going over. But they also have an option where if you upgrade to any other kind of list, like Constant Contact or what you all use, mm-hmm. it's just a simple, like, you click a feature and it all of your information just zooms into that new account.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to switch.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's how...
Good for the experimenter.
So going on to kind of a next question. So we have these different tools we use. Do you have any sort of strategies or, you know, systems, I guess, for how you use them? You know, what you use them for?
So I always use Twitter. Right after I write a blog post, I tweet it immediately. And one of the nice things about my blog is that I have it connected to networked blogs through Facebook. So I don't even have to post it myself on Facebook. It just does it automatically, and it's right there, and that's it.
That is really nice. Now, yeah. I will say I have tried to get network blogs to work, and I have not gotten it to work for me.
Really?
Yes, and I cannot figure it out. So I actually do manually go in and
post it.
Post all my new blog posts. But, you know, when I do it, I do have when I put it – a new blog post in three places, and it only takes me like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So oh, yeah.
I'm not that worried about it. It only takes me 2 minutes.
Right.
But I put it on my private Facebook page, and I went back and forth on doing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
you
did
know,
too.
Because so many people are friends, and that, you know, I view that it's more a scrapbook. You know, it's where I put a lot of pictures of my kids and, you know, talk about, you know, things going on with me and things like that. But sure. A lot of my friends are music therapists. And so I decided, okay, you know, I just do this twice a week. I think that's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I go ahead and, you know, I put it on my private Facebook page, and then I put it on my Neurosong page. And when I do that, it sends it out automatically to Twitter.
Right.
Anything I put on my Neurosong page, automatically a tweet goes out.
Same here. It's so, isn't that nice?
I really like that.
I do too.
I really like it. And then I also put it on the Music Therapy Roundtable.
And yeah, right.
And so I put it on those three places, but it only takes me about 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I'll do that too sometimes if I want to repost like later on in the day, you know, because usually I write my blog posts really, really early in the morning when most people aren't on Twitter or on Facebook. So I'll usually do like a reminder post, and that'll be manual later on in the day.
You're really good about that. I'm not good about that yet. I need to get more in the habit of doing that.
Yeah. It's kind of just become like a system.
Mm-hmm. So, Rachel, in terms of the systems, did you always do that, or did you start doing that after you read the GTD book?
I kind of always had a really loose system, but I've discovered that, you know, the more strict it is and the more on a schedule it is, the easier it is to stick with it. So I think that the GTD book, which I guess we should tell people is Getting Things Done, since people...
Love it!
Yes. Oh, I love that book. And I only listened to the audio version, the audiobook version from Audible, another great online resource. But I really want to get the print copy just so I have it to pull out and refer to. every once in a while.
And I did that too, Rachel. I listened to the audiobook first. Uh-huh. And I did. I went out. I think I went to, you know, half.com or something, and I got the print book.
Yeah, that's smart.
Just to have it as a resource.
Oh, yeah, because it's so full of information and everything is so detailed. You want to go back and kind of refresh your memory.
Absolutely. So you started more recently systematizing things and...
Yeah, I'd say that was more of a recent thing, and especially this summer since I haven't been working at school, I've had more time to kind of get my schedule down to an art.
And also more time to get off of your schedule.
Yes, that too.
You're not going to work.
Oh, actually, I have more of a system at home than I do at work.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's true, because at work, you know, you have people pop in and say, oh, could you do this song for me, or could you put this on a CD? And it's just kind of more chaotic than when I'm at home and I kind of have my office to myself and I can do what I want when I want.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So what about you, Michelle? Do you have any sort of, you know, system or strategy or anything? You know, do you use tools for certain reasons? And
well, my strategy whenever I'm using anything online is to treat it as a tool. And my strategy is to always remember my mission, my business mission, my professional mission, and let that guide everything that I do. So since my mission is to provide music therapy services to improve quality of life and personal growth of others, I always think of, okay, here I'm on my computer or I'm on my cool new phone, and how am I going to use this tool, this website, this blog, this whatever, to complete my mission, or to at least further my mission? And that always helps me stay on track, because I have self-diagnosed myself with ADHD. And so when I hear these, when I see anything new, I just want to play with it all the time. That's why I'm tweeting all the time. And so I always have to return to my mission to really remember why I'm doing this, and to help me evaluate, is this new website that I'm learning about really going to help me? Because I'm in the driver's seat, not the technology, even though very often the reverse happens for me.
That's so good of you, though, because especially with technology just advancing so quickly, it's easy to discover one thing and that leads to another, and then you find this cool new thing, and you could waste so much time just exploring, which I am guilty of every once in a while.
Well, I think we in our conversation today, you guys mentioned tweet deck and iStock and Picnic, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, TweetDeck, I forgot about that. I need to check that out. And iStock, I've just been Googling pictures and writing source data. Google. Yeah. So now I'm like, no, what do I really need to accomplish?
Right.
That I need to use is what helps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and Michelle, I think you bring up such a good point that no matter what you're doing and how you're doing it, you need to, you know, it's important to keep in mind, what's your main mission? You know, what's your main purpose? What's your main goal? So you don't get distracted and sidetracked.
Absolutely.
By all these fun things that are available.
And they are fun.
They are. They are fun.
So Kimberly, what is your strategy when you go online and use online tools?
Well, I use different tools for different reasons. So for example, on my Neurosong Facebook page, I'll use that to share, primarily to share links to information. I think, you know, people who like that page would be interested in. And they're not all my blog posts. They're, you know, some of them are definitely my blog posts, but I try for most of them to be other news sources or other blog posts from other people, and use that kind of as a resource center for the people who like the Neurosong page. And Twitter is kind of the same, but I do it a little more often. So whereas with Facebook, you can overwhelm people on that. You can overwhelm the system if you post too often, I think.
I agree.
Because I used to integrate Facebook with Twitter. So every time I would send something out on Twitter, it would automatically update my Facebook page. And I had a lot of people, not a lot, but I was told several times, you know, kind of jokingly, oh, I see you're on there all the time. But I think it was a little too much. Whereas on Twitter, that's okay. It you know, kind of doesn't matter how often you post. So you can post many, many times a day, do a status update on Twitter, and that's fine. That's what that purpose is. But the purpose of Facebook is a little different. So, you know, so I use those for similar reasons, and then I'm just trying to share valuable information and valuable content. But Twitter, I'll probably do it a little more often. Mm-hmm. And then I do try to throw in my personality. I mean, you know, I know, Michelle, you talked earlier about how there's not a line between, for you, there's not much of a line between, you know, your professional and your private persona, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to throw in a little bit of your personality. So I'll, you know, luckily I have kids and they say and do funny things and frustrating things and stuff like that. So I'll put, you know, stuff out there, something funny my kid said or something that drives me crazy or something funny I thought or saw. So I'll throw in some of those things too. You know, my main purpose is to try to be valuable or entertaining or something like that.
I think that's so important too, just for, especially for people that read your blog and they know you, you know, professionally, but to see you as a real person with a real life and to get that little insight into your life, I think makes you so much more likable and relatable.
I think so too. You can't really be dry.
No, not in this day and age.
Exactly. You need to be kind of conversational and more informal and just even in your writing style, let your personality come.
Right. Right.
You know, like I think, cause I've, you know, I know what I write and then I've read, you know, Rachel, what you write and Michelle, what you write. And we all three of us have slightly different styles, but I think that shows our personality.
Yeah, I agree.
And also to go back to when you were talking about Kimberly, that you stopped linking your Facebook and your Twitter account so that if you post something on Twitter, it shows up on Facebook.
Right.
My husband does that and it drives me crazy because I look on Twitter and I'm like, oh, he said something. I read it. And then I go on Facebook and it's the same exact thing. And I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Now with TweetDeck, you can control if you want to post something both to your Twitter account and to your Facebook account, you can select both of those, but it's not like an all the time thing. And that's what I really like about TweetDeck. Yeah. So check that out.
Because there are times that I post to both and sometimes I post just to Twitter.
Right. Me too. Right.
Absolutely. So should we tell our listeners why this is the topic for the month?
I think we should.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you're a music therapist, you know that the annual, you know, American Music Therapy Association conference is held every November. This November, it's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio. I don't remember the exact dates. It's about the
I
middle
think
of the
month. It's the 18th through the 22nd.
You are good. You are good.
Well, I have like three weddings that month, so I have to kind of have my schedule in advance.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm glad you're going to be in Cleveland.
I will be there for sure.
And the three of us are very, very excited. We're going to be offering a CMTE, which is a 5-hour continuing education course for music therapists. And we're going to be one of the CMTE providers at the national conference this year. And our topic is a lot about and more about what we're talking about today. The title is Music Therapy in a Web 2.0 World, Technology for Advocacy and Marketing. And we're going to spend 5 hours talking about all these different internet tools that we use and how we use them and why we use them and the philosophy behind what we do, why we do, and you know, give you other cool links like the picnic link Rachel talked about, except there's going to be even more of that.
Yes.
Right. This is the what, why, and how for being a music therapist and using online tools.
So we're very, I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Very excited. Very, very excited.
So if you are interested in signing up for the CMTE, it's held the Thursday of conference from 1:30 to 6:30. So would that be, Rachel, is that Thursday the 18th?
I think it's the 18th, yeah.
Okay. And if you, you know, if you've gotten your preliminary conference program, we're letter Q.
Q.
So it's on, we're on page 13, bottom right-hand side, letter Q.
And frankly, we have the best time slot from 1 to 6:30.
Oh, because
that's yes. After lunch, before dinner. You know, it's the perfect time.
At the beginning of conference when we're all still fresh and
right.
Soaked and having energy.
3 to 6:30. And so if you're interested in signing up, you just sign up when you send in your registration information. And early bird registration is due. Oh, I'm going to look this up right now. I'm going to pull it up.
I think it's like August 3rd or something. Oh, I have my conference sheet right here. I could look.
Oh, good.
Okay. Let's see. Early bird. Oh, okay. We've got Express as long as it's postmarked by August 4th.
So you have until August 4th to get the best rate for the conference.
Right.
Right. So this will be an interactive presentation. Please bring your laptops. You'll have to get internet probably, but it's usually very, very affordable. You can pay for it by the day, which would be around $10. And so when you walk out of our presentation, you can already have signed up for all those accounts that we share with you, whether your Twitter, Facebook, Picnic, TweetDeck, whatever you want. When you walk out of our presentation, you'll would have been signed up for whatever you wanted to sign up for. So you can walk in a novice on social media or using online tools for advocacy and marketing, and you can walk out with all the beginnings of being a marketing and advocacy giant.
Nicely said, Michelle.
Very good.
I have conference on the brain because the Erfurt Music Resource is going to have a table there. So I'm on like marketing overdrive. It's like
That is great, Michelle. I like that. So does that mean the three of us are giants?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently so, according to Michelle.
Don't put that in. Edit that out.
No, you need to keep that. I like it.
I like it, too.
So that's it. So you have until August 4th to register for the conference. And if you like this podcast, then you will really like this CMTE. We're bringing, we all use these tools. Hi, Lorian. Hi. We all use these tools lots of times. We've done a lot of this through trial and error, and so we can give you the quickest, easiest, most streamlined way to get going.
Yes. Reap the rewards of our mistakes.
Reap the rewards. Michelle, you're full of good ones today.
Well, do we each want to share one of our top favorite resources? I know I have one that I really want to share.
Yeah, I would also like to share a tip.
Okay.
All right, so what is your one top favorite website or resource you want to take people to?
Well, mine is kind of specialized, actually, and it's one that I used last year, and it's just kind of changed a lot of things and opened a lot of doors for me. And that was Kickstarter. And I know you all are familiar with that because I talked about it nonstop for a whole summer last year. But for those of you who haven't heard of Kickstarter, it's a website that allows people to raise money for any sort of project through crowdsourcing, which is where people donate to your cause. They pledge a certain amount. And I used it to collect donations to record my CD, Time to Sing Hello, that just came out last week. And and it was just such an amazing experience. I put this project out there and I asked people, you know, if you believe in what I'm doing, to create a CD based on the songs that I write for my music therapy students and to be able to, you know, give away the downloads for free, then, you know, please donate what you can or what you feel like donating. And I ended up raising all of this money to record the CD, and it was just so cool to see so many people come together for one cause and to have that feeling of support from not only other music therapists, but people that, you know, I was friends with through Facebook and Twitter. And I used both of those resources, Facebook and Twitter, I literally posted every single day, hey, this is what I'm doing. Do you want to help out? And it probably got a little annoying, but it worked.
It worked. And then you have this great CD, which I'll give you a little plug here. If you're interested in Rachel's CD that just came out, I mean, you just had your launch party, you know.
Last Sunday, yeah.
Last Sunday from the time of this recording.
Right.
It's Thursday now. Go to time to sing hello. Is that it?
That's it.
TimeToSingHello.com.
Yeah. And you can download it for free. You can also name your price if you want. And all of the money that I raise from CD sales goes right into an account for my next CD, which I'm already kind of planning. So, yeah. So it was just a really cool website that I discovered. I mean, if you were thinking of starting a new program or you wanted to build your instrument and equipment collection, this is a website that anyone can use. And as long as you feel comfortable with asking people to help you out, then it's definitely a great resource to have.
That's awesome. So what about you, Michelle? What's your resource?
Well, I really, really want to, of course, I want to say that my favorite resource is the Erfurt Music Resource. But I'm not going to do that.
I think you kind of just
did. Yeah.
But truthfully, my favorite resources that I find that I go to when it's music therapy related is other people's blogs.
Yes.
Whether that be Rachel's blog, you know, the Listen, Learn Music blog, Neurosong, of course, which is Kim and Rachel's blog, but also Music Sparks.
Music Makes Sense.
Music Makes Sense. There's a whole bunch of them. But at the same time, that I do go to my own, the Erfurt Music Resource, because all those blogs are listed on it. And truthfully, part of the reason why I created the resource was as sort of a address book for myself, a resource address book for myself so that I could be organized, but then it's online so everyone gets to see it too. But I noticed that when I look at someone's blog, I'll get the information or something interesting, whether it be a new research study or a new idea that I like. And so, you know, there's always a link to something else. And right. I find that I just navigate from one blog to another, to another, to another. And I'm never dissatisfied. It's just the blogs is what I really go to the most.
Yes. And on that same topic, Google Reader, I know probably many of you already use that, but that is just such a nice way to have everything in one place. I have a whole folder that's just music therapy blogs, and I can refer back to an article that I really liked or that was really informative, and I can just click on one link rather than having to click, you know, through each different blog individually. All of the new posts are just aggregated in one place every day. So I love Google Reader.
I have Google Reader, and I have a music therapy blog folder too.
Do you? Huh. Imagine that.
Of course. So my favorite resource, and it's not, it's actually one I've only used once, but I absolutely loved it. And I've shared it with lots of people, and I'm going to share it with you all now. It's called 99designs.com. And it will help you meet any graphic design need you need. whether it's a logo or a website design or print materials. I mean, I think both of you know that graphic designers are really expensive to get something that's professional and quality.
Oh, absolutely.
And things like that. I mean, my Neurosong website, I had a professional graphic designer do that. And between that and the logo and the letterhead and the print materials, I mean, I did it on the, you know, I went for a more inexpensive option and it was still $2,500.
Sure.
You know, it's expensive.
Oh, I can't even imagine what it would have cost if I had actually paid the graphic designer that did my album artwork. He was amazing and graciously offered to take it on as a pro bono project just because he knew I had a limited budget and that I was giving away the CD for free. So he took it on and did it all for no cost. But if I would have actually paid him his full amount, oh my goodness. No way.
So 99designs, it's a site where you run a contest. And so you put up this idea for whatever you need. I need a cover for a book. I need a logo for this website. I need, a theme for my WordPress blog. And you kind of outline your project and what you're looking for. And all these graphic designers from around the world submit their ideas. It's a contest. And you pick the winner. And you do it within a week. There are certain minimum amounts that you can put per a project. So you can't, you know, do $50 for a logo. It's, you know, like 250 or something like that. But it's significantly less expensive than if you were to go to somebody. And these are professional graphic designers who are submitting their ideas for your contest. So you are still supporting a professional graphic designer. You're getting a quality product and you're getting it for a reduced cost. It's kind of a win-win in my eyes.
Oh yeah.
And I you're not the only music therapist using that. I don't know if you, I think you saw that Kat Fulton changed her blog name.
Yes, she did.
It used to be, I don't remember what it used to be now. But now
Currents and Music and Wellness.
Yes, Currents and Music and Wellness.
Currents and Music and Wellness. She switched it to Rhythm for Good. And she did the 99 Design contest. So her new logo is because of you, Kimberly, because of your recommendation. And it's really cute.
It's super cute. Nice. I love it.
And it has like little drums on it. And yeah. Of course. You know.
Drums. And I only used it once. And I used it for the cover of my ebook that I offer if you sign up for my newsletter. And I think it looks awesome.
Oh, it's so professional looking.
Exactly. And
that's something that you wouldn't know how to design yourself. I mean, how do you design an ebook cover, right?
Exactly. But I had one within a week and one I really liked. And you can give feedback. So as I kept getting these submissions, I could pick out, okay, kind of like this one and this one and this one. And I could offer feedback and say, okay, could you do this? Could you add this? Could you tweak this? And they would, and they do it.
Right.
I mean, it was super slick. I really liked it. So 99designs.com. And I also want to say to all of you out there, I know we're throwing out a lot of different resources and websites and things like that. In the show notes, in the transcript for this show, we will have a list of just all the different websites and resources we've talked about on this episode.
And links to them too.
With links.
Yes.
Thank you. I guess that helped too.
Yeah.
So Kimberly, do you have a tip for our listeners out there on venturing into that world of online anything? Do you have a tip?
Well, I guess my tip should be to sign up for our CMTE, but no, seriously. I think my biggest tip is just to dive in.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that all three of us, you know, I had no idea what I was doing when I started in on all of this. I had no idea. And you kind of figure it out as you go and you learn from other people. And yes, you make mistakes, but you got to start. You just dive in and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my biggest tip. Just go for it.
Good tip.
Or as Nike said, just do it. How about you two?
I would say my tip kind of goes along with yours, Kimberly, but don't be afraid to put yourself out there no matter what stage you are in the game. Like if you're a student, if you're an intern, a new professional, or, you know, if you've been in the field for 10 years and you're just now getting into online social media, no matter where you are, you still have something to add to the conversation. And whether it's through a blog or a tweet, just like Kimberly said, dive right in. It doesn't matter, you know, how experienced you are. You have something to add. I know there are a few interns that have great music therapy blogs that I've really been enjoying reading. And it's nice to have that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And Michelle?
And my tip is to don't be afraid to do it a lot. If you're in the realm of Facebook and Twitter and putting those posts out there, don't be afraid to do it a lot, because we're also looking at the area of using these networks to advocate and to market your services, market music therapy. And now people's attention and the way the world is moving, we're in that fast paced society now.
Right.
And Chris Gerben's research, we talked to him before, you know, we're now into this phase of the newest thing, the latest piece of information is what people are remembering. So you mm-hmm. do have to do things a lot. You have to be at the top of that page because, you know, when information goes out there, it all scrolls down to the bottom. You have to do it a lot. You do have to repeat yourself. And I think that's a new shift for things because sometimes in the past, you know, it just wasn't seen as polite to advocate for yourself or your company, you know, to keep saying things about yourself so that people are aware of it. You might come off as a used car salesman and things like that. It's not like that anymore.
Right. And I think there's a study out there that says people need to be exposed to something like 7 times in order to take action. And I remember that just kind of sticking in my head, especially when I was running my Kickstarter project last summer. And that's kind of what gave me the go-ahead to just keep putting it out there. I put it out there every day. So it was fresh on people's minds after, you know, seeing it 10 times. Maybe they'd finally give in and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to support this. So I think absolutely, Michelle, you're exactly right.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, absolutely. And it's actually not new. That thing, that 7 points of contact, that idea has been in the marketing world since at least the 80s, if not earlier. Mm. So it's actually not new. It's a pretty time-tested idea that you need at least 7 points of contact before somebody will remember. So whether it's, you know, a tweet, a Facebook update, you know, something in print, a phone call, you know, whatever, they need 7 contacts.
Right. And it sounds like a lot, but just like Michelle said, it goes by so fast. Think about your Twitter wall or your Facebook wall. I mean, it's completely refreshed every few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So on that note.
But don't let it go by too fast for you. Come to our presentation. Lay it all out on the line.
And thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast through iTunes. Send comments and questions to musictherapyroundtable@gmail.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.